So this is Dave Vellante. It's June 23rd. Welcome to our special post-NetApp analyst briefing huddle. I apologize for the technical difficulties, but the purpose of this call is to debrief on the NetApp analyst event. So what we'd like to do is just share with you some of our thoughts, and really the purpose of this call was to debrief and identify which pieces we should be producing up on Wikibon. I was there with Rick Allen, Bill Mottram, and David Floyer, and it was a two-day event held at NetApp's headquarters. So let's just jump right into it. We had a series of presentations from key executives, including Norman Hoven, who spent the better part of the day there. He did the keynote, and then other executives followed. We had a healthy dose of storage efficiency, a moderate dose of cloud, we'll talk about that, and a lot of other NetApp-specific and industry-specific activities. So let me ask Nick Allen to just start it off. Nick, what did you hear that you liked, and what did you hear that was not maybe so impressive?
Well, what I liked, first of all, was supporting virtual server environments. They had some pretty compelling stuff a year ago, and they've just continued to add to it. I think they use the figure as being number two in iSCSI for virtualized environments in the U.S. And you know, they've taken on, they've started with a base of applications and built on them, including tight integration with VMware APIs and soon to come Citrix and Microsoft. And by that I mean some of the storage things that you do can now be done by the server or VM administrator. Not all of them, but some of them. And NetApp claims to be unique in this aspect versus its major competitors as of this date. The second piece that was the highlight, was one of the highlights, was their SanScreen product. Mostly it's interesting because, one, it's a very good product, and, two, they have to support heterogeneous environments. And that's kind of new and probably a bit of a difficulty for them. And I'm interested in seeing how that plays out, and the marketing manager there has quite a job trying to sing heterogeneous when NetApp is fundamentally a homogeneous company. Third was Dave Hitz, meeting with Dave Hitz, and it's always a delight to meet with him, and he did write us copies of his new book, and I did read the book on the way home, and it's a wonderful book, and everybody should read it. It's called How to Castrate a Bull, drawing on some of his experiences working on a ranch and then applying those to the business world. What I didn't like was didn't have much vision out there, and they certainly, their cloud storage strategy is to be a provider of storage to companies that provide cloud services. They were very clear about that, and in fact, I think most of the analysts thought that they needed a different strategy there. Those were my big ones.
Okay. I don't know. Can the people on the call hear me okay, or are you getting a lot of static with me as well?
A lot of static. But when Bill talks, I get the static. I'm clear?
No, you're not. Not
it's a system problem.
Yeah, so we're trying to get that corrected. But so just to summarize, Nick, virtual server environments, pretty positive. The SanScreen, meeting with Hitz, but maybe lacked some of the vision. And the cloud strategy, you really didn't elaborate on that, but it was essentially to identify some of the larger or more prominent service providers where NetApp was doing business and essentially intimate that, well, we've been playing in the cloud for a while, and our strategy is to keep playing there. But really wasn't that deliberate. It was more NetApp has had a play and will continue to have a play. I also wanted to just point out, maybe it should have started here, but Wormenhoven gave an overall overview at the beginning of the session, which was quite interesting. He put up a series of slides essentially making the case as to why NetApp will remain independent. And he basically showed a three-tier system, if you will, with the big five, Microsoft, IBM, Cisco, Oracle, and HP. The fat middle, EMC, Dell, Juniper, VMware, Symantec, et cetera, where NetApp falls, and then the bottom third was, you know, the smaller independents, Commvault, 3PAR, Netezza, Compellent, Isilon, et cetera. And basically made the case that no one really wanted to buy NetApp. And I thought he actually made a pretty good case. His point being that let's not worry about the distractions of getting bought out. It's probably not going to happen. It's not likely that Microsoft would. IBM's getting what it needs. Why would it spend all that money for NetApp? Cisco really needs VMware. Oracle just bought Sun. And is HP really want to absorb NetApp? And so he sort of made a pretty good case as to why they would stay independent and how NetApp would make acquisitions. You know, the question is, can, as we've asked this about EMC, can a relatively small company compete with these multi-billion dollar giants? And then we had a one-on-one with Wormenhoven where he, you know, laid out the case, even though we don't necessarily agree with everything he's saying, laid out the case that the focused independent companies are going to win in this game. So he, you know, basically was saying what's happened in the last 15 years with a layered competitive structure to continue on. And you know, we had a sort of healthy discussion around that, and you know, we can address that if you guys like. He also addressed the data domain acquisition and essentially came down to NetApp's a better place to work than EMC is the argument he was making, along with our offer is good, EMC has antitrust issues, et cetera, et cetera. Again, we don't necessarily agree with all those, but that was the case that he was making. So, Bill Mottram, you on the call?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so what did you see that you heard that was positive, and what did you hear that you didn't like?
Just follow on from your comments there. I enjoyed that initial presentation where Ron Holman was presenting the NetApp, the validity of NetApp, and you know, things like 147 new storage, 5,000 customers coming in there, you know, the amount of the 5.2 or 5.4 billion balance sheet, etc. I think was quite impressive, at least to me, considering what has been happening over the past 12 months and the way that he has husbanded the company through that period of time. I think deserves some recognition. Some of the market awareness type statistics that they were coming up with, such as the InfoPro study, where they were saying that NetApp was number two behind EMC in terms of the most exciting vendors that are out there currently. So this whole investment, the number I heard was about $10 million, but it went through this branding exercise, but it went through this redefinition of the logo to start getting that increased awareness out there, appears to be paying some dividends. At least the numbers the stats they presented to us would certainly indicate that was the case. So I thought that was a positive session going forward, particularly in today's doom and gloom economy type of attitudes. The other thing I liked the presentation that triggered some enthusiasm in me was Dave Robbins, who talked about the green IT activities. This is the internal green IT and the number of awards that they have received over the past year in terms of their efforts. And they are very much one of the leading lights in terms of being practitioners in terms of green IT. Now, the downside to it, I was rather disappointed in the lack of focus or the lack of mention in terms of their green or energy efficiency focus in terms of their products. So there was zero to none discussion about it. Yes, they talked about B-group and data reduction and all that good stuff. They did not address what they were doing in terms of making their hardware platforms more efficient. And I talked to a few of the execs, including Kib, about it, and they did acknowledge that that was indeed the case. I also raised with Kib the issue of I found that the messaging, although they were coming up with interesting stats about their branding and their awareness out there, the messaging, at least as they presented it at the analyst day, was weak. I thought it was vague in terms of trying to get my hand around what that vision was that was directed. strategy. And unfortunately, I wasn't there last year, so I came in and again, and I had that that perspective. The story to Cushing's story, I liked. There they were talking about the snapshots of thin provisioning, the thin replication, the virtual cloning, etc., the data dedupe that they have currently. Now, that whole thrust on data reduction, I thought was positive, and it's certainly one of the pillars going forward. What was missing in the technology was simply compression. And they had in one of the slides someplace that compression was coming, but I didn't get a sense of when indeed that would be. So that was a plus. The integration of the migration of 7G and GX to ONTAP 8, I thought was a fairly compelling story. However, the demonstration that they gave of that of ONTAP 8 rather deflated my enthusiasm. It wasn't quite as crisp, it wasn't quite as clean, and it didn't come over very powerfully.
Okay, Bill, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. So in summary, actually, I wanted to ask you something about what you said. You said you didn't think the messaging was very strong. I thought the messaging, and Nick, you made this point, was very consistent. Nick, you said they took a page out of EMC in a way, and that their messaging was very consistent, even though it wasn't necessarily, you know, a strong vision, but the storage efficiency message came through, I thought, loud and clear. Do you disagree with that, Bill?
It wasn't crisp. It wasn't sharp. It didn't have the power behind it. Yes, the words were there, but they certainly did not come over to me with any degree of, how can I say, enthusiasm. I missed that.
Okay. David Porter, are you on?
Yes, I am.
One other negative, if I may. And I'd just like to agree with Nick with regard to the cloud strategy. I thought that was very cloudy. I thought they were portraying that they were in the cloud per se in terms of their solutions, their offerings, where I was just looking at them as being they are supplying the underlying platform that supports cloud applications at the bus, so that they are a support player within the cloud environment, not a cloud play. Maybe semantics, but that was my thought.
Yeah, essentially providing infrastructure to service providers.
I think
across the board, even when we talked to other analysts, we felt like their cloud messaging was weak. And I think they heard that loud and clear, that 90% of the analysts felt that the strength of their message was lacking with regard to cloud. David, how about you? Pluses and minuses?
I'm going to come down firmly in favor of their positioning on efficiency. I thought they were very clear, very consistent. I liked the way they put it together. I thought they had put the foundation of ONTAP and the WAFL file system underneath it very clearly at the center, differentiated themselves by saying everything is linked by ONTAP, and showing how they'd layered additional functionality like the dedupe, which I liked, the compression, which is obviously coming, and all the other layers on top of it. I thought that was a very strong, compelling story for their audience, their particular niche in the marketplace. And their niche, in my view, is not the is sometimes tier one, but it's more in the tier two storage pools, without not necessarily quite the high degree of availability that they would expect from tier one storage. But very, very good. Good virtualization story underpinning it. Good solid functionality, and able to compete in that marketplace both with filers and with block storage very effectively.
Yeah,
so that was the.
I wanted to second that. I thought the message around unified storage and all the layers of functionality that they had around storage efficiency. You mentioned dedupe, thin provisioning, virtualization, you know, a bunch of other NetApp-specific features. I thought that was not only strong, I thought it was consistent from session to session that they were hammering home that message and their advantage of unified storage, you know, relative to the competition, even though you can argue it doesn't maybe go as high or as low. But I thought the messaging was very strong and crisp. I don't want to leave that. I just want to see where Nick weighs in on that. Nick, what were your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I did see that they were consistent in that messaging. I mean, they had storage efficiency, scale-out, unified architecture, and secure multi-tenancy, and they worked those themes in pretty much all the main 10 presentations, and if it was a breakout about unified architecture, then that's what they talked about. And it's kind of the first time I've seen, at least from a presentation standpoint, that degree of consistency.
Yeah. Okay, David, go ahead. Pick up on your pluses and minuses.
Sure. Right, yes. So the other plus for me was learning more about ONTAP 8 and 8.1 and the philosophy, the clustered storage philosophy there. That to me was obviously where they want to go to be able to move up into the tier one area. I didn't come away with a feeling that they really had that completely under control with their two the two horses that they'd previously been backing. I wasn't comfortable that they had completely got their act together.
Which two horses are you talking about? Which two horses?
I'm talking about 7G, one horse, and the ONTAP 8.1, which is one.
I mean, it seems that every NetApp event, the next version of ONTAP is, you know, the one you're really looking for is a year or two away. I'm sort of curious as to what your guys' thought is about that. I mean, we've definitely heard some ONTAP stuff, but...
Well, the good news is that I think the vision is right on where they're going. I'm less comfortable with the execution and the time scale that they're going to achieve this and the performance, et cetera. I think this is an incredibly complex environment.
So is Waffle an enabler or an inhibitor to that achievement?
If you're going to go into the clustering area, then you need obviously sufficient performance and sufficient architecture to be able to bring that together. The architectures, for example, from EMC had Rapid IO connectivity. I didn't hear anything about their connectivity. So there are a lot of missing gaps in what ONTAP and how ONTAP would work in that clustered environment. I wouldn't feel comfortable in recommending people wait for 8.1. I would recommend that they...
It's an understatement.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to get some clarity on that. So carry on your other points, and then we'll come back if people are interested and want to drill down at the ONTAP a little bit. That's fine. We can.
But. Right. But in fundamental, I don't believe that Waffle and ONTAP are an inhibitor, particularly to getting to this environment. It's a big step for everybody. It's a big step for EMC. It's a big step for Hitachi, IBM, et cetera. It's a difficult area to drop into. So the other area that I liked Dave Hitz's book. I think it was fantastic. I agree with you, Nick. That was a great book. And my wife is reading it now, and she's just loving it. So it's for all audiences. So I liked the book. I liked his more positive inclusion of all parts of storage. For the first time ever, I heard him not talk about NFS, which must have been a success for the PR people there. I liked his presentation. I particularly liked the CTO talking openly about the issues, you know, how the integration of ONTAP, et cetera, what their strategy was. And I thought if I was a NetApp customer, I'd feel comfortable that as things are at the moment, I'm going to be well looked after by staying within that NetApp group of products where they make sense.
This is Brian Pawlowski.
Yes.
The poor guy who had to do the Spinnaker integration. What a nightmare, right? So what's that? We're going on year six, I think. But that, to steal a Nick Allen phrase, Nick, I find I'm stealing a lot of your phrases. I hope that's a compliment. Brian Pawlowski definitely has a brain.
He has a brain and a half, and he was very straightforward and honest. And if he didn't know it, he IM'd somebody to find out. He was excellent. From a technology point of view, I thought they were in good hands with Dave Hitz and Brian Pawlowski. The two things that I didn't like were the green story. They'd done a good job of putting in some very nice data centers, but they don't have a corporate green story of any type that matches up with IBM or Hitachi. So they really don't have, they're not positioning themselves for what's coming in Europe and in the Far East as the cap and trade and other initiatives start to have teeth. So that was the one area which I didn't feel that they'd moved on at all, and they certainly didn't focus on it at all, except for saying, you know, we don't have raised floors, therefore we've got great data centers. I thought that was a weak message. The other area was the cloud, and it was very interesting to compare, for me, the approach from DataDirect and the just announced WAS file system and storage directly addressing the major issues of a very large-scale file system. Really hitting NetApp right, looking at their right in the middle of their strategic path, and saying that the philosophy of we'll just take our enterprise storage and put it in the data center, and it'll work for service vendors. Taking that strategy, applying it, and just not looking ahead to the immense scalability. File distribution, self-healing requirements that, for example, GFS has, the global file system, and DataDirect have just announced. So I thought they showed no vision or no understanding of the requirements of getting into that marketplace. Now, their answer was ONTAP, and maybe not. I did not get the sense that the way they're architecting it will in any way compete with DataDirect, assuming that it works, or in any way be a competitor to GFS, Google File System. So I thought they were out to lunch, both in their vision, their understanding of cloud computing. So that was a big, big negative to me. Obviously, they may have the view that that marketplace is too small and nascent and will take 10 years to develop, and they'll have plenty of time to look after it. They are taking both a marketing risk and a strategic risk by not looking at that area more closely.
Okay.
I'll tell you how I really think, if you like.
Yeah, okay. So I guess some other positives. I thought Rich Clifton, we met with Rich Clifton, who runs he's like the senior vice president and GM of tech enablement and solutions. I'm not sure what that means, but he's like a pretty strong product guy. And Nick, you had asked him how to compare NetApp with other mid-range systems, and I was impressed with the answer. He came back with what I thought was really business value focus as opposed to a bunch of, you know, feeds and speeds. His answer was around unified data management and policy-based storage and multi-tenancy and storage efficiency and some of the tools that they have, not just the sizing tools, but some of the other stuff, whether it's heterogeneous SAN management, some of the reporting and benchmarking tools, some that are coming out this month, like the ability to, for a user or a storage administrator to, at the push of a button, demonstrate how much storage you're saving, and ultimately we'd like to see that tie back to energy efficiency. David, you've called this in the past a hero report. So I thought that was quite useful. NetApp have made a big push in the channel. My sense is they were behind. They've got 2,800 channel partners now. Most of those are two-tier and one-tier and resellers. They've added a vice president named Julie Parrish out of Symantec. And they signed up, out of those 2,800, 1,000 were new in the past year in the channel. And they're putting a major emphasis on the channel, as are others. I mean, EMC, you talk to the channel, EMC gets it. They're the leader there. NetApp is sort of playing catch-up. And one of the reasons why EMC scores so well with the channel is it just does a great job of training people, servicing people. The terms and conditions are all the same, and anybody in the channel will pretty much tell you that. It's like airline, terms and conditions, right? As soon as one makes a move, the others make a move. But it seems like NetApp was partway through a major emphasis there, and I thought Julie Parrish had her act together and was pretty impressive. I wasn't nuts about Tom Georgian's talk. I thought there were a lot of – Tom Georgian's is the president – and I think the COO, right, of NetApp. He essentially followed up Wormenhoven, making the case that the independents are where all the innovation is going to come from, which is, perhaps true, but he made the point that I thought was maybe not a contradiction, but just incorrect, that the integration companies, IBM and HP, those guys are selling integration, and integration is not where the innovation is coming from and not where the business value is coming from. And I thought that was sort of a contradiction. He had parts of his talk that were okay, but that piece, didn't wow me. But in general, I have to say, I was witnessing what I thought is a maturing NetApp, one with very impressive capabilities that I think has the ability to compete head-to-head with EMC pretty effectively, much more so than some of the smaller independents. That was sort of my quick take. So, what I'm going to do now, the folks, the number of you have stayed on the line, and really given the crummy lines. Does anybody have anything they want to ask us while you have us? Things that we saw, opinions? Go ahead and do so. Just sort of chime in if you would. Any questions? If not, we're just going to assign pieces to write up on Wikibon and wrap up here.
Yeah, Dave?
Yes?
Yeah, this is Robin Harris. Hi. I have a question, and I know you talked about it, but I didn't get a kind of a simple takeaway. I'm very interested in what they're doing with the next version of Data on Tap and the cluster capability. So, do they have a date for the integrated version?
Well, they start from third or fourth quarter of this year. That's
18.0. But 8.1 was they were saying was the time when the clustering part of that was going to be.
8.0 is third or fourth quarter this year, and 8.1 is 12 to 18 months after that.
Right.
And that's where the clustering is.
Yeah.
Whoa. So it's really taking a long time.
Yeah.
They've been working on this for what,
this is what I say. Every time you go to one of these, it's like, you know, the version of ONTAP that you're really waiting for is, you know, another 2 years away or 18 months away. So it's sort of the same thing here.
Yep. Thanks.
Other questions before we assign pieces? Okay. You sure? Because it's your last chance. We're just going to, Nick, David, Bill, and I are just going to talk about now what pieces we want to write up on Wikibon. And you guys are more than welcome to sit and listen to that. But okay. So I'm going to mute everybody again, and then I'm going to unmute. The guys are going to be writing stuff. If you guys want to hang on and listen in, you're more than welcome to. Nick, you there?
I am here.
Bill, you there? Bill Mottram?
So that was a mute. Yes, I'm here.
And David, are you there?
I am.
So, as we agreed, this is not going to be the normal peer insight. As we pointed out, they're a little hard to do. But so what do you guys want to write about? I tell you, I would like, let me get started. I'd like to take the sort of the Georgians and Wormenhoven comments and analyze them and maybe put them into the context of some of the other stuff that we did. Nick, I've been thinking about it. You know, what's going to be the difference between that and can EMC remain independent? And I think the difference is to both convey some of the things that they said and then maybe try to put that into context as to where NetApp is headed. So make it very NetApp specific as opposed to necessarily industry specific. So that's kind of what I'd like to play around with. Any thoughts on what you guys want to write?
Yeah, I just adding a point to that. I mean, do NetApp have the resources to compete in the area of, you know, ONTAP or ONE, et cetera, competing with EMC's vision of VMAX, et cetera, and Hitachi? It seems that that's a big step and a large commitment, which I'm not sure that NetApp is large enough or nimble enough to actually succeed in doing. That would be the business question that might I'd be asking.
Yeah, you know, and I thought of that. And by the way, we have an offer to get some of the replication and data protection, you know, the SRDF type competitor. Briefing from one of the guy who runs that business at NetApp. And we should take him up on that because I don't know as much about that business as I should. So I'd like to do that. But I think the answer is no, David, but so what? I mean, does that mean NetApp can't compete? Guy Churchward is his name. No, I don't think it means they can't compete with EMC. I think they can compete just fine with EMC, just not in mainframes. And I think, you know, we didn't really talk about the Storage 5000. I might address that a little bit. We didn't talk about JKID at all. Jay, of course, has been, you know, I think he's gotten a mulligan with all the branding initiatives because the economy tanks. So I guess we just have to wait and see how effective that investment has been in the NetApp branding. But I think that, you know, NetApp relative to EMC, you know, if anything, I think they've improved their position in the last 12 months. Maybe not dramatically, but pretty well. They seem to be holding the customers' hands through this downturn. The bigger question I have is can either of those companies remain independent and take the virtual company and the partnership approach, work in the ecosystem relative to IBM and HP and who knows what's going to happen with Oracle and, you know, right now, it looks like they can, right? I mean, you know, what's IBM, for instance, doing with Diligent, right? There's sort of, you don't really hear much there, right? And meanwhile, you got guys fighting over data domain. But I think that's the piece that I'd like to explore. So I'll do that and circle back to you guys with some thoughts. But that's my take. Is yeah, they can, maybe not at the edges. Do you guys disagree with that or?
No, if they stick to their current knitting, they can exist in that space. I the piece that I'm concerned about is their ability to move into those markets which are going to be opened up, and in my opinion, in the clustering and in
the
area.
They cannot compete against EMC outside of the mainframe for high heavy loads, because they only got a dual controller box.
Right. But so what? I mean, they got unified storage, they got heterogeneous storage, they got heterogeneous storage management, they got great reporting tools, you know, relative to EMC, simpler stuff to use across the portfolio. You know, EMC probably disagrees with that, but that's, you know, customers will tell you. So, you know, why can't they continue to do pretty well? Very well, for that matter.
Well, I think the key question is, and they didn't, this comes back to the vision question. I mean, they pulled themselves out of the 2001 slump by offering Fiber Channel.
Right.
And it's like, well, now they got dedupe, and they got VTLs, and they got iSCSI, and unified storage, and they got SRM tools, and they got heterogeneous SRM tools, and they need something new.
To grow.
I mean, okay, we can take customers, and so they did the channel development, and frankly, I think that worked. It's just all masked because of the economy.
Yeah, okay, I'll buy that. But so that's why they're buying Data Domain, or trying to. They're not going to get Data Domain. if EMC wants Data Domain, EMC is going to get Data Domain. But I don't know if EMC really wants it or just wants to jack up the price. Who knows? We'll find out. But that's why they're going after Data Domain, because it's incremental growth of several hundred million dollars a year.
Right.
And I think NetApp will do very well with Data Domain. I think EMC thinks it'll do very well with Data Domain, and that's why EMC is mucking up the deal. You know, because EMC doesn't mess around. But are they worse off than any of these other guys? Are they worse off than some of the smaller players? You know, a Compellent or a 3PAR. You know, in terms of their ability to compete. I saw a lot more resources than those guys, for example. Impressive set of resources that they can bring to bear for customers.
I would agree with you, Dave. And Nick, I'd probably challenge a statement. If you look at their ONTAP GX, now they do have a little bit more than a two controller box when you look at those configuration. And as ONTAP comes along,
GX is dead.
GX
is dead. GX
will be dead when 8.0 comes out, David.
So,
right. 7G and GX are combining to become 8.0. My point being is that I was just challenging.
Didn't they move from 2 to 4 controllers with that at 8.0? Unfortunately, that presentation isn't on the USB drive.
No, it's not. I was looking for it.
But the point is that we're seeing the clustering, if I can use that term, the clustering strategies emerge. At least we're getting some visibility on them. Again, I'll steal another line. Nick, the companies have started to show some leg with, you know, VMAX, the Hitachi thing with Ham. I had a conversation with Barry White on Twitter today about the SVC. I wish a vendor would admit that they don't have non-disruptive, you know, or put an asterisk next to non-disruptive, not just a criticism to IBM, but everybody. Non-disruptive means, like, sort of disruptive sometimes. To vendors, but at any rate, regardless, we're starting to see clustering technologies come forth, and that's, I think, really what we're talking about here. And I don't know, maybe NetApp's a little bit of a disadvantage. That's for you guys to sort of comment on. But I'd like to, from my piece, I want to keep it at the competitive level, the business level, drilling into what Wormenhoven said and what Georgian said, and then maybe try to infer some implications out of that.
I'm firmly on Nick's side on this one. Is that, you know, that there's for me they're caught in between. You know, taking that that three levels, they're caught in between. They have the aspirations of covering the whole of the data center, which people like 3PAR or Compellent are just not trying to do. But not the resources to achieve it.
Well, I think that, you know, the things that we want to write are are the users that are following our stuff, you know, what do they do with NetApp? You know, should they, I mean, by NetApp's own admission, the Storage 5000 is underpenetrated. The users out there, really most of them don't know who NetApp are or don't really utilize them extensively. Should they? You know, that's really the sort of question that we need to answer. Based on what we heard and the direction that they're going, is this a company where users should put some serious investment in, or is it, you know, kind of the end of the road here for, you know, squeezing as much as you can out of Waffle? And that's, I think, the question that collectively we want to try to answer, you know, relative to what we know about where EMC are going, and I guess we know a little bit less about some of the other guys, you know, Oracle and even HP.
I think that's exactly the right question to be asking. I think that, Nick, you asked a really good question of the CTO, Brian, which was, how much further can you go with the continued improvement in utilization?
No, that was
Hits. That was Hits that he asked that question.
That was Hits. I'm sorry. But that was whoever you asked. It was a great question to ask.
Yeah.
And I think that's a central question: is that what more can they do with their current strategy? And I think personally, they've reached pretty close to the end of the road. And Hits actually said, you know, we've implemented almost everything I had on the vision, original vision. And so that means that after a time, you're going to be competing on commodity.
Yes and no. I mean, they've released it, but people aren't adopting it. I mean, one of the things that I heard was that only one in five customers who can are using thin provisioning.
Well, there's a lot of overhead on that. Those two little poor controllers with all this software.
Maybe, you know, there's a NetApp question or answer to that question, and maybe there's an industry answer to that question.
Right. So anyway, those are the issues that I would be.
Just to amplify. I mean, look at what DataDirect is doing and how many bytes they ship.
Yeah.
And NetApp could have gone after that market. And maybe they will.
You mean for the cloud offering that they just announced, if I can call it that?
No. I didn't know.
You mean the high performance stuff?
Yeah.
There's
lots of pieces like video, all the video markets, the high performance markets, you know, potential cloud markets, which need new thinking and new ways of doing it.
Here's the other thing I think they should do, because I was thinking about this earlier. I think they should take some of the functionality that they have and move it into the VMware space, decoupled from the hardware.
Interesting. I mean, do a magic store.
Yeah.
You mean Store Magic? Well, I mean,
Store Magic.
Of all the guys we talked to, it seems like NetApp is probably the best position to do that kind of storage services play.
Well, I'm thinking of the storage virtual appliance.
Yeah.
In other words, take some functionality which they already have and decouple it from their hardware, slim it down, and go after the SMB.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
I mean, NetApp could have done what StoreMagic does if they'd been thinking about it. And the reason I say that is because they have a huge amount of server virtualization talent.
Yeah, I mean, that was clear from last year's conference. There's pretty impressive talent there. I mean, again, across the board, these guys got incredible resources, and that's why I feel like customers that get exposed to this, if what they're saying is true about the Storage 5000, then there's upside there. Because if you're a customer and you see NetApp come in with these resources and capabilities and references, and you're going to give them a try. Why wouldn't you? All right, so we got to wrap. What do you guys want to write about? Do you want to take that scenario, Nick, or do you want to do your efficiency play, or do you want to do something with ONTAP 8? Or you got to be careful there because there's some NDA stuff that we got exposed to. So.
Was the timing NDA?
No. The timing, they didn't give a straight answer on it.
Well, they gave it 12 to 18 months after 8.0.
Yeah.
And they weren't entirely straight on 8.0, but...
Yeah, right.
it's a moving target on a moving target.
My concern here is I don't want to take all the bad bullets.
Don't want to take what?
All the bad bullets.
Oh.
I mean, I can take one bad bullet, like maybe cloud, but I don't want to take cloud and cluster.
Well, why don't you do cloud, if you want to do that.
And it's actually a lack of vision, or
right.
Articulated vision. I mean, they have a real clear position on cloud, but what's their vision beyond that?
And David, do you want to do something? I mean, we have to do something around storage efficiency, don't you think?
And I'll do.
I'm happy to do something on storage efficiency if that's.
Well, you understand,
that's
Nick?
And I'll do virtualization. Supporting server virtualization.
Server virtualization,
yeah,
and cloud. David, you're going to do something on storage efficiency?
Yep. I'm happy about that.
I'll do the CEO, COO spiel. And Bill, what do you want to talk about? You want to do green? You want to do...
Not sure.
What's that?
I said I'm not sure. I don't know. I'll talk something. I'll take the green subject.
So what's the theme here? I mean, NetApp, huge awards for green internally, but...
Bill, just as an experiment, would you mute yourself? Okay. Did a lot of static just go away?
Testing 1-2. Did that change anything?
Yeah, it's actually a lot better.
Huh.
Okay, come back, Bill.
How's that?
Did you guys see a difference?
Yeah.
Bill,
are you on speakerphone?
Yeah, but that doesn't make any difference at my end. I'm on a speakerphone. Yeah.
Can you get off for a second?
Sorry.
Can you pick up?
Hello?
We still got static here, I think.
It's much better. Yeah, speakerphones are often on IP seem to aggravate things.
Yeah, well, our service provider got acquired, and they don't answer the phone anymore, so it's probably time for a new one.
A landline, not IP.
So, Bill, you're going to do something on green, is that right?
Yeah, I'll do something on green, yeah.
Okay, so we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pieces. I might do something on the channel as well. Anyway, let's just do them. We'll package them. If we want to, we can package them in a newsletter. We should probably do that anyway and blast them out to the community. Can you guys get these up by tomorrow?
Tomorrow what time? Noon my time?
Within 24 hours?
Within 24 hours, yep.
Can you guys do that?
Yep.
Okay. Anything else?
Did you take notes?
No.
Okay, so what am I doing? I'm doing...
Oh, I can tell you what you're doing. I can email what everybody's doing. You're doing server virtualization in the cloud. Floyd's doing storage efficiency. I'm doing the CEO, COO spiel, and maybe something on the channel. And Bill's doing green.
Yep.
I mean, there's a ton of material here that we could...
Yeah.
We could.
By the way, Dave, I have picked up my line, and it's just the staticky at my end.
Yeah, it's not. This is this crappy service we're using. We're going to dump them. So, I apologize for that.
No, they
were outstanding. Once they got acquired, they just killed them. Funny how that happens.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the patience with the lines, and thanks for stepping up on these. All right. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, everybody.